Last Sunday, I kicked off a summer series with you that we are calling The Red Letters. In most of the Bibles, or most Bibles, the words of Jesus have been highlighted for us in red. And so we just felt like this summer we wanted to turn our attention and our focus just to the red letters, to the words that Jesus spoke. There's so many things being said in our world today, so many thoughts, so many voices. And in the midst of it all, I think it would be a great thing for us to do, to just look at some of these words that Jesus spoke. There's so much hope in the red letters, so much wisdom, so much power in the words of Jesus. So this will be my last Sunday preaching, actually, for 4 weeks. I'm taking a month off for holidays. I had some leftover from last year, and I just felt like I wanted some time away this summer to sort of recharge and get ready for what God has lined up for us in the fall. But we have four great speakers lined up next week. We have Anatoly, then we have Catherine, then we have Gary, and then we have my dad, and they're going to continue on with this series. I know you're going to be blessed. Today, I want to speak to you from some of the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 5 and in John chapter 7. In Matthew 5, verse 6, as Jesus was teaching his famous Sermon on the Mount, he said these words, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." In John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them.' By this, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." As you read the Gospels, you will see that Jesus spoke about hunger and thirst on many different occasions. And today I want to use these words to challenge us in regards to what it is that we're thirsting after by looking at three things related to spiritual thirst. I'm getting thirsty. The first thing I want to look at this morning is the fact that we are all thirsty. We're all thirsty. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me." And I want to suggest to you this morning, you're thirsty. We're all thirsty. Everyone is thirsty, and so the invitation that Jesus gave is available to all. The fact that everyone is thirsty is not the issue. The question is, who or what is satisfying the thirst that you have? I believe that God in his divine wisdom has built within us a spiritual hunger or a spiritual thirst. It's in the heart of every human being. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, Solomon wrote that God has planted eternity into the human heart. We're not like the rest of creation. Within us is a sense of eternity, a knowledge that there is something more to this life than what we see, what we experience in the here and now. James chapter 4 tells us that life is but a vapor. And there is something inside of us that tells us there is something past this life, something more than just this present physical life. Everyone is seeking fulfillment. Everyone wants their life to count. Everyone wants to live their life with meaning and with purpose. And I believe that whether people realize it or not, there is a void inside of their soul that God put there that only he can fill. He's put eternity in our hearts so that we would hunger, that we would thirst for more, and find that what our soul is seeking can only be found in him. This is the grace of God towards us. But it is also, it also can be a danger to us. You see, if this hunger is not filled by God, we will chase after other things that are hurtful to us, hoping that they will satisfy the twisted desires of our heart. Many of you are familiar with the story of Jesus traveling through Samaria. Jesus in this story was thirsty. He wanted a drink. He stopped off at a well. It was known as Jacob's well. Jacob had built it. Jesus stopped there at noontime in the heat of the day. His disciples went into the village looking for food, and Jesus sat by the well, waiting for somebody to come with a bucket that could draw him some water. And while he sat by the well, a Samaritan woman came to draw water from that well. And Jesus asked her, "Could you get me a drink?" The woman was shocked that Jesus would ask her this question because she was a Samaritan. She knew that Jesus was a Jew, and Jews hated Samaritans. They would have nothing to do with them. So she said, "Why are you asking me for a drink?" In John chapter 4, verse 10, we are given some fascinating dialogue that ensued. And Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. She's not understanding. "And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon be thirsty again. But those who drink the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. And Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." Well, if you read the rest of the story, you know that the woman came to realize that Jesus was the Messiah. And that day she got the living water, and she became the catalyst for many in her village believing in Jesus. Now, when you read this story, it doesn't take a theologian or a psychologist to realize what's happening here. This woman came to the well. She was thirsty. But not just for H2O. She had a greater thirst. She was looking for significance in her life. She was looking for love. She was looking for something to make her whole. Something to give her life meaning. She thought the right relationship would give her what she needed. She thought the right guy would fill the hole inside. But every relationship had left her more empty. Every relationship that she had been in had left her more broken. And so she came to this well for water. But Jesus, as he looked at her, he discerned what was really going on inside of her. And he saw there is so much more thirst in her than just for H2O. He saw the greatest thirst inside of her. There was a hole inside, and only he could fill it. She needed what only he could give her. And that day, her greatest thirst was truly satisfied. My friends, we are all thirsty. The question is, what are you doing to satisfy that thirst? There is only one who can do that for you, and his name is Jesus. He's the only one. Whatever your need is, the fulfillment for that need is found in Jesus. Wherever you are thirsty, Jesus would say to you this morning, "I have living water for you." That place in your soul where you are parched, he's got the water that you need. Whatever your need is, the fulfillment for that need is found in Jesus. Are you anxious this morning? Do you need peace? What did Jesus say? "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Are you lacking joy? David wrote in Psalm 16:11, you will make known to me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Are you tired and feeling overwhelmed? Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Are you feeling unable and lacking strength? Jesus said in the Corinthians, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Are you struggling with self-worth and identity? Romans 8 says, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, or Daddy, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. When you know the Lord, when you discover who you are in him, when you hear his voice, when you encounter his love and his mercy that's new every morning, your soul is satisfied like nothing else can. And this living water is always available. The invitation to come and drink is an open invitation that never ends. The question is, will you let him satisfy your thirst? Which leads me to my second point. If you are full, you can't be filled. I've already said that everyone's thirsty and that only Jesus can truly satisfy the deep longings of the soul. But that doesn't stop people from trying to satisfy their thirst in other ways and through other things. In Isaiah 55, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying about the salvation that Jesus would bring and the living water that Jesus would bring. In fact, Jesus in John 7 is actually quoting from this passage when he said, is anyone thirsty? Isaiah wrote these words, is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, exclamation point. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that doesn't give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Once again, we see the invitation that Jesus gives is for everyone. It's free. You don't buy his living water. You just receive it by faith. In this verse, we see his free gift of salvation. And his offer of everything that truly satisfied is contrasted with spending money on food that gives no real strength and that does you no good. You see, if you aren't drinking the living water, then you're looking elsewhere for something to satisfy your thirst. But Isaiah says, it ain't going to do you any good. Jesus has what you need. But if you're filling yourself up with other things, church, you're going to miss the best thing. You can get full on junk food. I've done it before. Have you ever eaten that whole bag of chips? Tasted good going down, and 20 minutes later, there's a lot of regret. It's a temporary pleasure. In the end, it does you no good. It leaves you sick. It leaves you malnourished. It's the same spiritually. There are many who are like the woman in our story who are trying to meet a need with something that never fully satisfies, and in the end, they're worse off for it. The only way to experience what Jesus has for you is to realize that the other things you are drinking are not the answer. If you're filling yourself up elsewhere, there is no appetite for the real thing or the better thing. It's very interesting that when the angel had come to Mary and told her that she was going to have a child, and she said, be it unto me according to your word. Of course, her relative Elizabeth had also become, was pregnant with John the Baptist, who was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. And so Mary goes to see Elizabeth, and John the Baptist leaps within the womb of what was her name? Elizabeth. And they're celebrating what the angel has said and what's the children that are in their wombs. And in this moment, Mary begins to prophesy about the son that was in her womb. The Holy Spirit just comes on her and she begins to prophesy in song about who Jesus was going to be. And notice the words that she uses in Luke 1:53. He has filled the hungry with good things. But notice this. And sent the rich away with empty hands. The hungry got fed. The rich never got what Jesus had. They were full on something else, and they missed the living water. She was singing in this in her song, the hungry get fed. The hungry get full. You see, if you're already full, you can't be filled. It leads me to my final point today. We have to empty ourselves in order to be filled. There's a very famous story in Scripture that illustrates this point and the other points I've been making today. Jesus was on the way to the house of a man named Jairus. Jairus had met Jesus on the beach as he had landed in his boat and a crowd was waiting, and Jairus had run and fallen at the feet of Jesus. He was desperate. He was hungry for a miracle. He said to Jesus, "My daughter is dying. If you don't come to my house, she's going to die." And so Jesus said, "All right, I'll come." In verse 24 of Mark 5, it says, Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. It was a great crowd. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she didn't get any better. In fact, she got worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd that's pressing in around you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell on her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." It's an amazing story. In this story, we see some parallels to what we've been talking about. The woman in this story was in great need. She was desperate. She needed a miracle. She needed to be healed. She needed that which only Jesus could give her. However, initially, she wasn't even aware of Jesus. She didn't know who he was. She didn't know what he could do. And so because she didn't know about Jesus, she had tried everything in her power to get well. She was looking for everything to meet her need. She went to every doctor in town looking for a cure. But instead of a cure, whatever they prescribed to her, whatever they suggested to her, it hadn't gone well. She suffered under their care. Life had been very difficult. And in the end, after all their prescriptions, all the suffering that she endured under their care, she was no better. In fact, she was worse. On top of that, she'd spent all the money that she had. It was all gone. She had reached the end of herself. She was empty. She was broken. She was hopeless. But I want to suggest to you, it was the best place that she could ever be. Because in her emptiness, she was ready for Jesus. She was ready for what he could give her. She was ready to receive. And it was at this point that she heard about Jesus. She heard the stories of how Jesus was healing the blind eyes and how the lame were walking. And as she begins to hear about Jesus, something inside of her says, this is the man that can meet my need. This is what I've been looking for. I've been spending all the money I have. I've gone to every doctor in town. I've looked for the cure under every corner. But now I know what I need. I need Jesus. He's the answer. And she realizes, if I could just touch him. She was hungry to meet him, desperate to touch him. She had the faith that he was the answer. And the voice of faith inside of her head said, if you can just touch him, if somehow you can just touch the robe, you'll be healed. Some scholars have speculated that she likely had a menstrual or uterine disorder, that it would have made her richly unclean, excluded her from most social contact. If that was indeed the case, then touching Jesus was going to be an issue. There was a great crowd around him. First of all, in her weakened condition, she was going to have to push through this crowd to get near him, which was going to be a challenge. On top of that, everyone she touched, including Jesus himself, would perhaps be ritually unclean. Needless to say, there were hindrances in coming to Jesus. But when you're empty, you'll do anything to be filled. When you're starving, you'll do whatever it takes to get a meal. When you're drowning and someone throws you a lifeline, you grab on with all your strength. And this was the place the woman was in. She had tried the doctors, but they couldn't meet her need. And now she knew Jesus could heal her, and she determined nothing was going to get in her way. Nothing was going to stop her. Her emptiness and her desperation pushed her past every hindrance. This woman had a physical need. But the greatest need of every human being is deeper than that. It's a spiritual need. The longings of the soul are deep. But there are many like this woman who are turning to all sorts of doctors, trying to meet the deep longings of the soul, and they can only be found in Jesus. Some are looking for the doctor of relationships, like the woman at the well. Some are looking for significance in what they do, maybe even being a part of some great cause. Some are going to the doctor of fitness. You go to church every morning to work out. It's your religion. Some are getting more and more educated. Some are looking for all sorts of things for the cure, for a void of meaning and significance. There are many doctors, too many to list. Not all of them are bad in and of themselves, but what they can't do is meet the deepest longings of the soul. Only Jesus can. Only Jesus can. But as long as you're going to the other doctors, as long as you're drinking from the wrong well, you can't experience the living water that Jesus has for you. If you're full, you can't be filled. And so you must empty yourself of all the other things, or come to the realization that all those other things have left you empty. And in that place, you need to hear his voice. He's shouting. Maybe it's a whisper, but it's a shout. Is anyone thirsty? Are you thirsty? Come. Come to me. I've got living water. It's fresh. It bubbles up every day. My mercy is new every morning. It's always fresh in the house of God. He's the bread of life, the manna that's new every morning. Taste and see that he is good. It's the cry that comes from the heart of God. Are you thirsty? To all those who are hungry, to all those who are broken, to all those who are empty, he shouts, come! Come and drink from me. I'm the living water. Where are you at today? Are you thirsty for the living God? I don't know about you, but going through this pandemic for the last year and a half and being away from people and all the noise and all the division and all the brokenness and around us, it's left me in a pretty empty place. And I find myself saying more than ever, God, what I need more than anything, what I need to hear more than anything is your voice. What I'm thirsty for is beyond all the noise. I want to know you. I want to experience your power again. I want to know your life again. I want to know your joy again. The world doesn't have it. It's found in you. And I hear his voice, Joel, if you're thirsty, I didn't go anywhere. I'm still here shouting. You heard my voice when you were 19 years old. You heard me say, Joel, come and drink. I haven't moved. My living water still flows. Are you thirsty? Come and drink. You see, one of the things that I've experienced in my own life and that I see in Scripture is that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness always get filled. God always responds to hunger. I've always loved the part of the story where Jesus asked the question, who touched me? Who touched me? You see, this woman's hunger and desperation, it appears, literally sucked the power right out of Jesus. He wasn't looking for her. He didn't even know she was there. But something sucked the life out of him. It was like her touch plugged a hose into the living water inside of Jesus. And that which was in him flowed out of her, flowed into her. Her faith connected her to his power. Her thirst turned on the tap inside of him. And Jesus knew someone had touched him with faith. He knew somebody had touched him with hunger because it just drew the life right out of him in a good way. Who touched me? The woman comes forward. She's scared. She's trembling. And she falls at his feet and she tells him the whole story. Perhaps she was trembling, thinking he was going to be upset when he found out she had touched him and she was unclean. But as she told him the story, Jesus loved it. He loved her faith. He was moved by her need. He was thrilled to meet it. And I love how he concludes, daughter, you don't need to worry. You're my daughter. You're my daughter. You're precious to me. Your suffering's over, daughter. You see, my friends, when you come to Jesus broken, when you come to Jesus empty, he never turns his back on you. His invitation has no limits. Anyone who's thirsty can come. I don't know how you came this morning, but there's a sense in my heart that there are many of you today who need the living water this morning. You need to touch him. You need to empty yourself of your pride, your stubbornness, push through the hindrances. You need to turn from those doctors that aren't meeting your needs. And you need to come to Jesus. There are some of you, perhaps here this morning or watching online, that you need His salvation. You need His mercy. You can't earn His salvation. You can't earn His mercy. You'll never be good enough. But Jesus made a way through His death on the cross. He died in your place, paid for all your sins, forgave you. All you need to do now is be like the woman, receive it by faith. And you can have eternal security. Some of you, you need to come back to Him. You're like the prodigal. You had it good in the Father's house, but somehow you got distracted by the other things. You thought that there was the answer in some other thing. And it's left you broken and in a pig pen. But you can come back. The Father's always waiting with a robe and with a feast to satisfy. Some need a healing touch. Some of you are just dry from life and you need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit. You need a fresh baptism of passion, a fresh baptism of fire. I tell you, He's still the baptizer. When you come hungry, He baptizes you again and again and again. He said that the spring was fresh. Some just need to experience His love and His hope. I don't know what you need, but I know that Jesus is here this morning. I know that He put this word on my heart today because there are some of you that desperately need what only Jesus can give you. So why don't you stand to your feet this morning? I'm going to open the altar here at the front. Corey's here to play. We're going to dismiss the online audience in a minute. Those of you that need to get your kids, don't forget to get them. But if you're here today, we don't need to stack the chairs. We don't need to rush out the door. Maybe this is your first time back in church in a long time, and you realize this morning, I need Jesus. I'm empty. I'm broken, Pastor. I need a taste again. I forgot that I needed the living water. And why don't you just come out of your seats this morning, and let's make this altar that place of connection. Come be like the woman. Push through this morning. What do you need? Come and get it. Let your hunger, let your thirst open the floodgates that are within the Savior this morning. The invitation is still there. Come, those of you who are thirsty. Come, drink of the living water.
When I lock eyes with You, I see my reflection. When I lock eyes with You, I can feel Your affection. I love to get lost in You.